You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
All right, Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm not Scott.
And I am Scott. That means you're John.
I'm John.
That's right.
This is episode 126.
126,
Scott.
John. One episode out. After Phil the bass player came to visit in episode 125.
Doubt.
Didn't you have a question about that song?
Yeah, I think it was. The song is. It's either Too Pure to Die by Confidence and Consequence, or that's the name of the album. I can't remember. I should probably do a little more research.
Put some pants on, kids, so I can kick your butt.
Also,
sad day.
All the backing music will be provided by Andrew.
That is right.
From the UK.
I got a CD from him. He said, "Dear John, I am delighted to enclose some musical material for your consideration. You may decide to use my suggestions as beds music on your delightful podcast. I hope you can access the files on the disc. Nearly all of them are Apple lossless format, which iTunes should be able to play back." Which I don't like that, so I converted them all to MP3.
How'd you do that?
The old stupid ass way of burning it to a disc and putting them back on.
I think that's the only way to do it. Right? No,
there's some tools out there, but they're really slow. I haven't found anything that's does it any quicker. So anyway, the music selection includes my original suggestions: Catwalk by easy music legend Pete Moore and Blackout by my guitar hero John Scofield. I have also included a selection of other easy listening tunes along with another John Scofield track, Sissy Strut, and the original version by The Meters.
The Meters.
Yeah, thanks again for producing and starring in an excellent podcast. Kind regards, Andrew. He put me on there as John Morley Esquire.
Nice. Isn't that like a lawyer? Esquire?
Yeah, Esquire.
Esquire.
And unfortunately, I don't know if I put these in the right order, so I'm not even sure we're listening to the right ones in the right order, so I don't know which one is Catwalk and...
Oh, I know which one, Cal.
Anyway, through the whole show, you will be hearing sounds provided by our listener, Andrew.
All right, John, like you mentioned, sad day today. Chuck Heston.
Yeah.
Put some pants on, kids, so I can kick your butt.
84 years old. And
yes, the Jewish Charlton Heston. Oh, that's right.
He was Jewish,
wasn't
he?
He's not Jewish.
What is he?
He's some, I don't know, his name is like Charles Carter, I think, or something.
It's like, no. Yeah, that's not right.
Yeah, it is.
His name's like Israel Nussbaum.
What do you make shit up, man?
Here's
I don't know
the deal,
who the
though.
Fuck, how people believe anything you say.
I'm very convincing.
It's the way you, your delivery is unbelievable. Well, it is believable. What am I saying?
It's unbelievably believable.
Completely unbelievably believable.
So I get a goddamn dog wakes me up again at 6 a.m. Nobody takes care of the damn dog, so I got to go down there. So I get on the PC and I see that Chuck Heston died, so I go out to YouTube. And I cannot believe how many YouTube clips are out there and how many people have already commented. Probably people from the UK heard it before we heard it.
Yeah.
But the thing I noticed when watching these clips, it's kind of depressing because you see him age, you know, from his mid-30s to his 84s.
No doubt.
84s. To his
80s. He's octogenarian when he died.
Yeah, and in 2002, he says, "Hey, I got Alzheimer's," and it just blows to get old, man.
Yeah.
It just sucks.
When I heard that, I started thinking about my own mortality today. I'm like, wow, 43 years have just blown by. And I'm 41 more, and I'm Chuck Heston. If yeah. I even make it that far.
I was thinking about that, and I'm thinking 75 would be the right age to kind of bow out.
Really? Why? Because yeah. he looks so frail, shaking the W's hand. Oh, yeah. That reminds me. A new month for the countdown calendar, Scott.
For the W. How many days left for the W?
289.
There's that thing again.
Yeah, it's your mic cable or something. It's definitely on
your
side.
I'll play with it when I hear it.
You go, girl.
Yeah, so, you know, and then I'm thinking, I made this observation yesterday. Yesterday, I drank a lot of liquid, and we were out and about.
Yeah.
And we went to order lunch or something, and everybody else got to go to the bathroom while I'm ordering lunch. So I'm starting to squirm, and I really have to go. And so I finally get into the bathroom. And before I turn 40, this was one of the most pleasurable things ever, is to hold your pee in and then release it. It was like a blast. You'd have to stand back from the urinal because of the backwash, the backlash.
And, you'll be able to do that in your diaper.
We talked about that almost as good as orgasm. I mean, that release of tension. So here I run in the bathroom and I'm all excited about, you know, I'm gonna explode, right? And I relax my muscles. It just kind of dribbles out.
Oh, no.
It builds up some steam, but it never really forcefully comes out.
Yeah.
It just kind of drains now, you know? And it's so lame.
You know,
it's
that's so funny. Lame. I noticed the same thing today. And you want it, especially if you're in like a stall, you want to have that noise. You know, so you sound manly firing into the toilet. You know, that sound like you're just firing a hose right in there, right? And mine's like, it's like, am I squatting? What's going on?
You know, sometimes I'll hear people and it'll be like, like just spurts, and I'm like, boy, at least I'm not that bad yet. But it's just when in 40s, like the magic number, hair starts growing where it never grew before, especially out your nose and ears.
My ears, man, I gotta shave my ears,
and you can't piss with force.
No force pissing.
There's no release. There's no tension release. It's right. It's just horrible. And then you think about Chuck Heston.
Well, you're just glad you didn't go in your Depends.
I saw a small clip of Michael Moore interviewing Charlton Heston, and he just... And then he was somewhere else, and the NRA, and talking, and just horrible.
Yeah.
Getting old. Just really blows.
Blows.
Let's hope the scientists there can come up with some sort of a gene modification that... What? Stabilizes your age.
Lock you into like 43.
39 would be perfect
39.
For me.
Yeah.
Shit started going downhill after 40 for me.
Well, we're middle-aged now. There's 50s now. Well, back in the day, it used to be 15 was middle-aged.
Right.
Because, you know, you die by 30 back in the day of Jesus. So... Yeah, we got that going for us.
But enough about us. Chuck Heston was the one who passed away today.
Yeah.
You maniac! You blew it up! Oh, damn you! God damn you all to hell!
That is the best line, man. Oh, my God.
I like the pause off me.
Are your phone ringing, dammit?
My favorite movies, I think the first time I saw him was in Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
And then later on, I saw Planet of the Apes. Those are my two favorite Chuck Heston movies.
No doubt.
That's right, Yul Brynner. No doubt.
No doubt. Even Yul says it, man.
No doubt.
And that was when he was Ramses,
right,
wasn't it? So
right.
They were saying it back in the day, John.
Yeah. No doubt. No doubt.
No doubt.
There's a new Ten Commandments coming out.
Oh, yeah. It's got to be great.
The 10 Things I Hate About the Commandments.
Oh, yeah. I did see that.
Peace out. At Pharaoh High, Ramses was the biggest player around.
No doubt.
But when the new kid in school...
I am a stranger in a strange land.
...realized hanging with the in-crowd wasn't so easy, he took a stand.
Man shall be ruled by law, not by the will of other men.
Moses.
Now the battle is on to see who can get the girl who will rule the school, and if a zero can become a hero. So let the games... begin.
Hey!
From the creators of Must Love Jaws comes a comedy 3,000 years in the making.
You're a sharp, clawed, treacherous little... Did you hear that?
Charlton Heston, Yul Brynner, Sinead O'Connor, and Samuel L. Jackson as Principal Firebush.
What happened here was a miracle, and I want you to fucking acknowledge it.
10 Things I Hate About Commandments.
Put some pants on, kid, so I can kick your butt.
Nice.
It's out of sight.
It is out of sight.
So, yeah, Chuck Heston from the grave.
Soylent Green is made out of people.
People.
And we're going to miss you, Chuck.
No, we're not, because we have a soundboard.
Oh.
So Chuck will always be a part
Chuck
of our show.
Will always be here. No doubt.
So you didn't catch any of the NCAA games,
no doubt.
Huh? On CBS
no doubt.
There?
No, I didn't.
Final Four, March Madness?
Have not.
Well, Memphis beat UCLA, and Kansas beat North Carolina. I watched both games.
Wow.
And I tuned into the Kansas game a little bit late, and it was Kansas 40 to North Carolina 12. I mean,
wow.
It was unbelievable. But North Carolina actually came back and cut it to four. But I mean, that takes so much goddamn energy to get back in a game like that. They couldn't sustain it to the end.
Right.
And they eventually got crushed. But I got to tell you, John, I'm looking at Memphis to take it all. Tell you that right now. Memphis, I guarantee Memphis is going to win on Monday night and beat Kansas. And I have a couple of reasons for that. One of them is Kansas shot their load on North Carolina.
Yeah.
They're done.
Done.
They're going to come out and not score at all.
Well, you know, isn't March Madness like the most unpredictable?
It is.
Series in any sport?
It's only if you're not a genius like myself, John.
I forgot how I forget from podcast to podcast who I'm dealing with here.
I don't know how you could forget that. I remind you every podcast.
It's just part of my therapy.
Therapy.
I'd get so stressed out if I had to be reminded of it every minute of the day, so I just try to block it out.
So Memphis will win the championship.
They will win.
On Monday night.
You should be betting on that, man.
I should be. I wonder what the line is.
Wager.
The line.
The line. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
No doubt.
All right, so we got some emails. Everybody was pretty impressed with Phil on the show. Got a lot of response from Phil. About Phil, or not from Phil,
Phil,
but about Phil.
About Phil.
Actually, Phil did send us two emails.
Oh, did
he? Asked who the... Did he ask about Fuck the Shit? No, that was somebody else. Not Fuck the Shit. I want to take a shit. No, I got to take a shit. Because I got to take a shit.
Because I got to take a shit!
But he did send us two emails. I can't remember what... Because he sent them to my work address. You see.
Yeah.
So I didn't And I wasn't able to compile those. So a lot of positive. I don't think there was one negative email about Phil. But this one caught my eye here. From Patrick, Pat McGroin. Says, great show with Phil. Bring him back anytime. In fact, wouldn't it be ironic if Phil replaced Scott on TTN the way Scott replaced Phil on the Kangaroo Court? Just the thought.
That's nice.
You know. Exchanging ideas. You know. That would be something,
actually,
wouldn't
Phil
it?
Phil could probably be on every show.
He probably could.
Yeah.
That would be something.
He's close by.
Close by.
He's close by.
He's close. We'd have to make him get his own mic.
That's true, yeah. Because we have our own mics.
Also, a lot of email again agreeing with me. I talked about Punky and how shitty they sound. A lot of emails in agreement.
Wow.
This one in particular from John E.T. Hey, guys, another great show this week, and you guys are spot on about Punky. They sound shite. But then he goes on to say, last week you mentioned Facebook. I have news for you. There are now two members of the Facebook group I created. It's called I Listen to Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
Oh, I got to check that out. I'm a member on there now. So.
Do you have a Facebook account?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. So,
I'll have to create a TTN one or something.
You truly are global. Thanks, Christian from Sweden. So, John E.T. and Christian from Sweden are the two people in the group, the Facebook group called I Listen to Total Talk Nonsense
That's
with John and
sight.
Scott. Thanks and have a great weekend. You're a truly loyal listener, John E.T.
That's out of sight, man.
It is out of sight.
I got a message.
From, get a message from?
From
man.
Preston.
From Preston.
Preston from the Websters.
All right, the Websters. Yeah. What was that? Podcast 18, we talked about the Websters?
Yeah.
When we went and saw the Websters there?
Yeah, he's supposed to send us some MP3s or something. They got like four CDs out. And he writes, what's up? The podcast is really sounding great. I was watching the 2008 AVN Award show. It's the Oscars for porn, Scott.
What does AVN stand for?
It's like Adult Video Network, or I don't know. It's adult movies. Anyway, on cable last week, and I heard some hilarious acceptance speeches that you should make sound clips of for your show.
Did you do that?
I got one. I couldn't find any from this year's. I found one from last year's. Want to hear it?
An acceptance speech?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's this for? Best anal?
I don't know.
Best bukkake?
It's Jenna Hayes. I don't know what
that is. Best gangbang?
I don't know what she's accepting.
I don't even know what the categories are.
But I would like to hear some of the... I don't know what they are. I could look. I could tell you who won this year. I was looking
well,
at
well, if we don't know what they won or what they won for, I really don't, you know.
You don't what?
Best fisting? What are the categories? That's what I want to know.
I'll tell you right now. There's best actor, best actor in film, best actor in video, best actress video, best all-girl release. Best all-girl sex scene, best alternative release, best anal sex scene.
Oh, see, there you go.
Best anal-themed release, best art direction, best big bust series, best cinematography, there's best couples, best foreign... Best DVD extras. That's always a good category to win. Best ethnic themed release, black. There's one Asian black, Latin, best femme dom strap on release. And that was won by, The title was Babes Ballin' Boys 17.
So there's 16 prior.
Yes, yeah.
Babes Balls and Boys.
Babes Ballin'.
Babes
Ballin' Boys. Ballin', so they're banging boys. Dudes with strap-ons.
Wow.
Best foreign feature. This one's called Furious Fuckers Final Race. I don't know this one. Best Gonzo series. Best High Def. Yeah, there's a bunch of them. Best MILF release.
MILF.
Yeah. Best New Starlet. Best Oral Sex. And the rest are kind of Best Retail.
Where do they have the Avian Awards? Do they move it around every year, or is it always...
Best Special Effects. I think it's in Vegas.
All the time?
I don't know.
I see. All right, so you have
Dave
one
Navarro was there.
Winner's acceptance.
Yeah, from last year.
And this maybe we'll find out what they're accepting their award
this
for.
This is Jenna Hayes.
Jenna Hayes.
I'm really honored by this. I want to thank my amazing boyfriend, Jules Jordan, of course, for making this movie and giving me the chance to suck some cock again. And thank you guys.
What was her boyfriend's name? Tools Jordan.
I'm really honored by this. I want to thank my amazing boyfriend, Tools Jordan.
Tools or Two Holes Jordan? I don't know.
Two Holes.
I'd like to thank my amazing boyfriend, Two Holes Jordan. I don't know. It's, yeah. And then I found another clip that, you know, Richard Christie from the Howard Stern Show.
Of course. I know he was Richard Christie.
He was doing these like black tie type, interviews, and, he ran into the speech impediment man, a guy who, I think he's been on the show before, and he wears like
not our show.
Howard Stern Show, and he wears like a Superman costume or something with, and he wears like a get her done, like cap, you know.
That's right, John.
What are you doing, man?
That's what Richard Christie sounds like.
So anyway, they're trying to interview this guy, and Richard Christie's messing with him, telling him the mic can't pick up his voice good enough, so he has to speak louder. And they're at the AVNs, and he's asking them some questions about who he wants to see there and stuff. So here it is.
Say what you said the first time. Woo! I'm having a great time here at the Porno Award, looking at all the boobies. Is that fucking loud enough for you? You cocksucker motherfucker! Can this motherfucker? Yeah! Woo!
Don't curse.
Don't curse? Why not? You don't like cursing, Candace?
No, let's be serious.
Want me serious? Okay, what do you want to know?
Who are you looking forward to seeing this weekend?
I'm looking for Tara Patrick. She is my fantasy woman. I want to do Tara and spill all over her face.
Who?
Tara Patrick. Tara Patrick. Tara Patrick! Tara Patrick! You know Tara Vivian?
I'm not familiar.
You're not familiar? How about Lisa Spark? You know Lisa Spark, Big Boob? Jenna Jamison?
Lisa who?
Lisa Spark!
Louder, I'm
or
sorry.
Jenna Jamison?
Lisa who?
Why don't you get a fucking microphone that works, motherfucker?
You're spitting all over me.
Well, you're asking me to talk loud. That's why I'm spitting on you here at the Avian Award.
All right, well, thanks, Speech and Better Man. No, say no goodbye.
Problem. Goodbye, motherfuckers. Maybe you'll get a mic next time that fucking works.
No, don't make a joke out of it. Just say, hey, this is Speech and Better Man saying goodbye for the Avian Awards.
Hey, this is Speech Impediment Man.
I'm sorry, that wasn't loud enough.
Hey, this is Speech Impediment Man saying goodbye for the Avion Award with my buddy Richard Christie here. Thank you. Okay.
You motherfucker.
Wow.
Wow is right, man. So anyway, Preston also said that we should get Chuck on the show.
Chuck.
You have met Chuck before.
I've met them both before, haven't
yeah,
I?
Yeah. Chuck actually came to one of our shows at the Beacon. And Chuck is a Scotch aficionado.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Preston suggests we bring him on the show because he'll bring some fancy-ass Scotch. Fancy-ass.
That's worth it right there.
Yeah. So I'm trying to get Preston to send some tunes and maybe be on the show and do a live jam because we have a lot of listeners in the UK, and they play some pretty good stuff. We've seen them live.
Oh, yeah. They were kick-ass, yeah. Man. Kick-ass.
So,
right on.
Thanks to Preston for that. I would like to get the... I'd like to see the AVN Awards. I think it was on Showtime. You get Showtime, don't you?
I don't know what I get. I don't think I get Showtime, though. I only get to watch when people order on demand on my block. Then I get to watch that. That's all I get.
Nice.
You see any movies this week?
No, I didn't see any this week. And you had asked me last week. I forgot to tell you I saw I Am Legend with Will Smith.
Right.
It's based on a book from the 50s called I Am Legend about some...
Chuck Heston, actually.
Yeah, an Omega Man. Yeah. Yeah, he did that. That's where I get the stop the phones ringing or whatever from that. That's what that was in.
That reminds me, I was supposed to bring movies over.
There is no phone ringing! Stop it!
Jesus Christ, turn it down. God damn.
I meant to bring two movies over again. I fucking didn't do it again.
Yeah, well, anyways, I didn't think I Am Legend was that great. Because the vampire zombies were all CGI.
Mm.
So they look goofy, you know. They got those olive oil arms where they don't quite have elbows, you know. They kind of bend like tubes.
Tubes.
But he plays the Robert Neville, just like Robert Neville in the Charlton Heston one. And there was one from the 60s. With Vincent Price, he played. He didn't play the same character, but it was based on the same story. And then Chuck Heston played in Omega Man, and now I Am Legend with Will Smith. I didn't think it was that great.
Better than Wild West.
Though. Way better. I was mildly entertained. I wanted to see more. More blood.
More blood.
Gore. Yeah.
Gore.
Yeah, but he does this thing where he starts, like, talking to mannequins. He's going a little stir-crazy. So he's talking to mannequins and shit, and he gets freaked out about mannequins, and he falls into a trap. And in the Omega Man, they actually catch him, and the zombie vampires are... They actually talk, you know, they communicate, and they're called the family. Talk, you talk too much.
Do they wear, like, do they look
capes,
like monks?
Yeah,
you know, I did see that
big
movie.
Hoods. They're all wearing those fucking Ray-Ban sunglasses.
Yeah, I saw that on, Channel 9 at 1 a.m. Yeah. When I was, 8 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, you cheating bastard.
Put some pants on, kid, so I can kick your butt.
I brought in a clip, John. Oh, I saw Under the Tuscan Sun. You ever see that one?
No.
With Diane Lane?
No, I don't think so.
It's a chick movie, I guess. But it did make me want to move to Italy.
Yeah.
Yeah, my wife and I talk about vacationing. Well, let's go to Europe. Well, if we go, we got to go at least for 2 weeks. But then after seeing this movie, I'm like, well, we got to go for a year at a time. Wouldn't that be fucking great?
Oh, jeez.
We go a year in Italy, a year in England, a year in Scotland, and then the kids can have educations in all those different places. And but then when the kids got older, would they appreciate that or would they resent us for that, you know?
Yeah.
I think they'd appreciate it. Well, Rick was a Navy guy, right?
Yeah.
And he moved around a lot, but he hated it, didn't he?
I don't think he knew any better. It just was...
That's what they did.
Rick told me stories about how, you know, maybe his dad wasn't such a good dad because he just got married and had kids because that's what you did back in the 50s, you know?
Right.
And he's got some good stories. I mean, he was born in Guam. He was all dressed up. I don't know if they're in Florida or Cuba or Guantanamo or something. During the Bay of Pigs. And he said he and his brother got dressed up in their little cowboy outfits with their six guns at their sides. And their mom was shooing them off to a bomb shelter or something, getting ready for the big missile launch.
Nice.
Yeah, so he's got some stories. I think he's got one brother that's in the Navy and another brother that's gay that lives in Florida.
Florida.
Or something.
Well, this movie, Diane Lane, definitely makes it worthwhile to watch.
Yeah?
It's very charismatic.
Take her clothes
Diane
off.
Diane Lane, very good actress. I thought they handled some of the scenes really well. With editing and such, you know.
Nice.
To convey...
Cinematography.
Emotion without dialogue. Oh, the cinematography was fantastic, John.
Fantastic.
It's one of the reasons it made me want to move there. It was just so beautiful. It was so beautiful, Italy. I can't tell you. moving on,
you're
John.
You're a dork. I can't... All right. We can't have this show anymore.
Why not?
I'd like to move to Italy for a year. Do it for a year and then a year there.
You do it for 2 weeks, right? The first week, you're trying to just get acclimated. The second week, you're stumbling around with the language. And before you know it, you're back home. If you want to do it, I think you need to move there. I mean, if you really want to know what the culture and the people are like, you got to do it for a year.
Why the fuck would you care
minimum
about the culture? You haven't even checked out all the culture here in the United States.
Well, that's just it. I don't want to.
Why?
I want to go somewhere else. I haven't experienced it firsthand, but certainly with my television viewing, I have inadvertently been exposed to all cultures here in the United States.
Give me a break. You've never been in the South?
I was in Florida. In North Carolina.
You never been down there by...
I was in New Orleans.
You never been in, you know, like, what the fuck is that next to Florida?
Georgia?
Georgia, that's what I'm talking about. They're known for their southern hospitality.
Right.
Yeah, squeal, you pig. Squeal like a pig. Squeal, you pig. Yeah, I don't know, man. Yeah, let's go to Italy. Let's go to Amsterdam so you can yell at the fucking taxi driver. All those cities are so integrated now. They're like they're European Union, so they're integrated like here.
Why? Well, I would agree.
They have to learn.
I would agree with Amsterdam, but I don't think Italy's integrated.
Yeah, you have to go to the out. You go to like Rome. There's fucking tons of Germans walking around, and they got to speak English.
Yeah, I'd avoid Rome.
Let's go to Tuscany.
The country.
Let's go to the country.
That's right. What I'd do.
I have a bunch of smelly wops yapping at you.
That's fine.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that.
No, you did. You racist.
If all the Italians moved to one side of the earth, what would it be?
Wopsided.
That's right. You said it, not me.
It's cool only because you told me that joke.
That is one
5,000 times. I brought a clip in. And we've talked about this before. If you get pulled over by the police, Just do what they say, especially if you're goddamn drunk.
Yeah.
Just do what they say. I don't understand what's so hard about doing that. Yes, sir. No, sir.
No, I just think people don't to be told what to do.
You think that's it? Just at a very basic level, they're like an alpha?
Who the fuck are you, man? Alpha, totally.
I don't care that you have a uniform or a gun or a taser. fuck off.
Yeah. That's the way I'd be.
Not
fuck
me.
Fuck you,
they
flat
pull me
foot.
Over? Yes, sir. License and registration. Here you go, sir.
No doubt.
Proof of insurance, of course.
You know what I'd tell them?
What?
I'd say,
put some pants on, kid, so I can kick your butt.
Butt. That's what I'd tell them.
Yeah. But these guys, they get in trouble. They, like you said, they don't want to listen.
Oh,
so this
fuck.
Is, this is some, this is what it said on the website that I got the video from. I don't know how accurate it is, but this is supposedly some real estate developer. He was driving a Bentley, so those things are expensive.
Yeah.
And they pulled him over. I don't know if this is from cops or if this is now standard procedure that they videotape everything, but the cop is definitely wearing a mic. So the audio is kind of shitty. It's pretty loud, I think, so you might want to tone it down a bit.
All right.
But they walk over to the guy and they ask him a question, and it just goes downhill from there.
Am I playing the clip?
Now, the original clip's like 6 minutes long, but I only grabbed the first minute.
All right.
Sir.
Mr. Talbot.
What?
I need you to hang up the phone, please.
I'm not going to hang up the phone.
Sir, you need to hang up the phone.
I'm not going to hang up the phone.
Mr. Talbot.
I don't know where I am, but...
Mr. Talbot.
I got a police officer.
All right, sir, you need to get off the phone, all right?
I'm not going
to
hang up the phone.
Don't put your hand on me.
Get the fuck off of me. God, God, you. This one. Oh, you mother.
Put your hands on your back.
Don't resist.
Winnie.
Winnie. What the fuck are you doing to me? What the fuck are you doing to me?
Jesus Christ. The police state starts.
The rest of the clip, he's just crying like a little pussy. Ah! Ah!
Well, wouldn't you? The fucking cops are strong-arming you with a gun. They're right there. They're being judge and jury.
Get off the phone. Yes, sir. How goddamn important was that call? Did you hear him? Yeah, I don't know where I'm at. I don't know. Some cops are here.
Well, the cops are being rude. He's on the phone.
Ask them to get off the phone.
Should wait. The cops can wait.
How long? How long do we want to pay our taxes to have cops wait for this asshole to get off the phone? Just hang up the phone.
Cheaper than fucking batteries for them tasers, don't you think?
How about, hey, I'll call you back. Let me call you back. They want to talk to me.
What do you want, fucking flatfoot?
Yeah, be as rude as you want to them. You know, they hang up the phone. Why the fuck did you make me hang up the phone? And then you can have dialogue if you want.
Actually, the cops were pretty nice. They were like, sir, please.
Mr. Talbot.
Sir.
Mr. Talbot, sir.
Please, sir. Get
please
off the
hang
phone.
Up the phone.
Get off the phone, please. Get up.
I wonder when it crosses their mind.
Hit him again.
I'm going to get to tase this motherfucker. I'm going to ask him one more time. If he doesn't get off the phone, this is going to be fucking great.
Ah, what are you doing to me? We're tasing you, stupid.
Stop resisting. I'm not. I'm having spasms from being electrocuted.
Stop. Yeah. I mean, you remember when you were zapping your pit bull and it would just get more pissed and jump at the fence with its chest and the spikes sticking in its chest? And... it just get more pissed. I mean, what the fuck is with the taser, man? The taser is it's just ridiculous.
Well, that is the thing. I mean, there's four guys. There's one police woman and three guys. And you can't subdue one guy without a goddamn taser?
Yeah, I know. And people have been dying from it, too. Oh, well, he had a bad ticker to begin with. Oh, okay. Cause and effect. I mean, you just jolted him with 50,000 fucking volts.
Again.
Again and again and again.
No, again. Listen to the police officer. Just do what he says.
Fuck that. What the hell is with you, man? Okay, next you're going to listen to the W.
Get off
just
the phone.
Just listen to what he says.
Yes, sir. Hey, I'll call you back. Click. How can I help you, officer?
Ossifer.
Ossifer. Where am I at?
How can I help you? Beer tender, more bar. Yeah, no doubt. I gotta take a piss,
no
man.
No doubt.
All right, man. You know what that means. It's break time. I'm excited about this break time.
Are you excited about this song?
I am really excited about this song. This is from practice.
I sing on it.
And, yeah, it totally.
It's rocks. A long tune, man.
You gotta remember, it's from practice. I think that's the key. But we are going to commit to working
on
this song.
It's the first time we ever really played it.
Right, a little bit
since
more.
Since we moved from...
you know, it'd be interesting to play it now, and then 10 episodes from now, after we've run through it, play it again.
Yeah, yeah.
When it's all nice and polished.
I think you're right, yeah.
You know, we'll make it shiny.
Right. Are you ready, man?
I'm ready.
Everybody knows this tune, right?
Oh, no doubt.
Listen to that production.
Yeah, I get up suddenly, and I go to work at nine. I got no time for living, yes, I'm working all the time. Seems to me I can live my life a lot better than I think I am. I guess that's why they call me the working man. That's what I am.
Yeah.
That is one big pile of shit.
All right. We were working, man.
Working, man.
No doubt, man.
No doubt.
No doubt. Holy shit.
Woo.
That was cool, man. That was a bad. The vocals came around at the end.
Yeah, for a first try.
Yeah, no doubt, man. No doubt.
No doubt.
No doubt.
No doubt.
All right, John. One miscellaneous story here about the Church of Scientology. One of our favorite subjects. That goddamn cult.
Oh, boy.
This just happened today, John. This is hot off the press.
Hot off the press.
A 25-year-old woman has today pled not guilty, to the murder of her father and sister, who were active members of the church. The woman today pled not guilty to their murders at a New South Wales Supreme Court following their stabbing deaths last year. It is believed that the woman was suffering from a significant psychotic illness, but was denied assistance from mental health professionals because of her family's religious beliefs, John. The Church of Scientology regularly campaigns against the use of psychiatric and mental health professionals in problems faced by its members. It was alleged last year the woman was prevented from receiving assistance from the New South Wales Health Department because of her parents had refused the treatment. The then 24-year-old went on to stab her father and sister and also injured her mother. The trial date is set for July.
That's fucked up.
So what does Tom Cruise have to say about that? That's what I want to know. So Church of Scientology says, no, you can't take those drugs. You can't do that. You can't even see mental health professionals. You need to see us. We'll take care of it with our e-meters.
Yeah.
And we'll cleanse you.
She went Tom Cruise crazy, dude.
We'll cleanse you of the thetans. Tom Cruise is so. And so then this woman turns around and stabs her father and sister and injures her mother.
She's Tom Cruise crazy, dude. Doom, 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 doom. At least all his people tell him so. Doom, 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 doom. And while he thinks that she's a very special lady. We should do this tune.
We should.
Like a punk version of it.
Let's work on it. You and I will work on it, and then we'll turn it over to
Rick. Oh, yeah, it's real hard for me to work on.
I guess I'll work on it. Well, if we're going to do a punk version, you know, we got the stops and the starts and stuff.
What stops and starts?
I'll put them in.
Why?
Because they're more...
more better?
Yeah, it's more better. It makes it... We're tighter. People perceive right here, right that here. We're tighter.
Right here. You'd be... Doom, 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 doom. You couldn't enjoy Tom Cruise.
Wow!
Da, da, ba-doom, ba-da. Tom Cruise is always getting older. He's always getting older, Scott. He knows
he'll never be that.
So at issue, the main issue of this trial will be the woman's mental health. And she didn't receive any assistance from 2006 onwards because of the parents were into Scientology.
Wow.
I guess they met Xenu a little early, huh?
Yeah.
Dopes.
Old retarded grandpa. Nice.
All right, turning to celebrity news. This was really disturbing when I read this. And I'll ask you a question, and you probably won't be able to answer me at all. Because when I was thinking about this, I couldn't think of one goddamn song. I could not think of one damn song. You know what happened this week, John?
No.
Pop diva Mariah Carey has become only the second artist to score 18 U.S. number one songs, beating the late Elvis Presley into third place. The singer's new song, Touch My Body, surged up the Billboard's Hot 100 countdown to take the top slot after being made available as a digital download. K. Carrie has now claimed her 18th number one single.
Wait, who is this?
Mariah Carey.
Really?
Leaving her just too short of the Beatles' record.
Wow.
How is that possible?
I don't know. Name one
Mariah Carey song.
I can't.
One.
I'm sure there was people that said, name one Beatles. You can't.
I can.
Well, you can, but back in the day.
Back in the day, people could. Especially Elvis, too. Come on. Well, everybody heard those songs. Who's hearing these songs? Is it because the population is...
No, downloads were slower back then.
Is that why?
Yeah. Dial up, you know.
Mariah Carey, a couple more number ones, and she's going to replace the Beatles. She'll be the number one singles record holder of all time.
Wow.
And I can't name one of her goddamn songs. Not one of them. I just read one of her songs, and I can't remember what it is.
I have a little bit of celebrity news.
What's that, John?
If you're done with that, being upset with Mariah Carey.
I am upset with Mariah Carey.
You motherfucker.
Celebrity endorsements aren't always a good thing. Did you know that, Scott?
I didn't know that.
Take, for example, Lawrence Lessig's open source copyright organization, Creative Commons. Sure. Everyone was excited when Trent Reznor moved a trillion copies of the new Nine Inch Nails record using the license. But the same doesn't seem to apply to Charles Manson. Perhaps it's the whole brainwashing cult murder thing that trips people up. But people seem to forget that before Chuck was carving swastikas into his forehead, he was keeping himself busy as a struggling songwriter, even managing at one point to land a composition on a Beach Boys album. Did you know that, Scott?
Yeah, I knew that. He hung out with the drummer.
Yeah.
What was his name? Dennis? Dennis Wilson?
Frank Wilson. Thanks in part to an abundance of spare time, Manson has managed to record another record, this time out bearing the typically ominous title, One Mind. The album is licensed under the Creative Commons, meaning that anyone can share and remix the thing for non-commercial purposes. The full record is available for free download via LimeWire for the morbidly curious. And I did download the entire album.
That's great. Does he sing on it?
Yeah.
Does he play instruments?
Yeah.
Of them?
Yeah, here's a cut.
All right.
It could be heaven if you think about it. If it don't come around, maybe you can turn around and then say you can live without it.
That's not a
but
song.
If you can't live without it and you've got no mind to complete, if you had no words in your head and your mind didn't touch the street, if you lived in the clouds and your head run on a feather, that you couldn't think about a duck walking backwards in stormy weather, then I would imagine that your brain would bounce like a ball and then you'd try to figure out why you're trying to stand up like somebody in my heart.
What the fuck was that? Where's the music? What is that?
It's coming.
I am the commanding officer's commanding officer. That's commanding officers. That's a commanding officer.
I never knew Charles Manson was black.
In Fort MacArthur in San Pedro. He said, love your enemy. Hate your friend. Look out for your friend because your enemy might try to get your friend on in and then they would play some game against something you might want to
I guess there's
love sees it all and it's
really no good equipment in prison.
No.
Yeah, it's everywhere. It's all being revealed to you who are true and in your magic motion.
I've heard enough of this.
Come on, this is beautiful. Phony with yourself, Scott.
Right. That's great.
So, yeah, you can download it on LimeWire for free. Charles Manson's new album, One Mind. Yeah, that's all the celebrity news I got, I think.
That's awful. Maybe we can petition the state to have him come over and be a guest of ours and live jam with us.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah.
Well, the sound, the engineering would be, what, 100 times better?
Yeah, I could probably do a better job, I think. Yeah.
Oh, no doubt.
No doubt.
In other celebrity news, John.
This is the working man. Yeah.
Jay Leno got in some trouble last week.
No.
TV talk show King. Really? Is that true?
Yeah, I don't know. Jay Leno. He rips off everything.
Has apologized for asking actor Ryan Phillippe to give him his, quote, gayest look.
What?
During his late night show, Stop Loss star Phillippe spoke to Leno about his first paid acting role as a gay teen on the soap One Life to Live.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
And comic Leno decided to poke fun at his admission when he was a guest on his late night show.
Let me get this straight.
he asked an embarrassed Phillippe.
Can you give the audience your gayest look?
That was pretty much it.
Yeah, that's
but the joke, that's a joke, John. The joke backfired on him.
What's the problem? It was a big joke.
When officials at the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, or GLAAD, urged Leno to apologize. And now the 57-year-old has done just that. He says, I'm talking about Ryan's first role. I realize that what I said came out wrong. I certainly didn't mean any malice. I agreed it was a dumb thing to say, and I apologize.
Well, it was a joke, right?
It is a joke, and what's wrong with it, you know? Hey, John, give me your gayest look. What's the big goddamn deal?
Does your mom know you're gay?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually. I don't know.
I don't see what the big deal is. He obviously didn't run it by Ryan before the show because he took him by surprise.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of a dick move there.
I think I saw part of that. He was getting pissed off at Jay and telling him he's going to walk off the show or something about something else that he asked him. I'll walk off right now. I'm not answering that question. I'm out of here. Some shit like that. But, yeah, it's a joke. It's like when I made that WAP joke. It's a joke. We have a friend who's a WAP. We like to make fun of him.
Yeah.
TP.
Yeah.
I'm not racist. He is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All them Italians are, John.
You big pussy.
In other news, this was almost a great week for celebrity news, but didn't work out that way.
No.
Seinfeld cheats death after brakes fail.
Oh, dude, that's just...
Comedian Jerry Seinfeld narrowly escaped serious injury brakes on one of his classic cars failed during a drive in New York. The star was cruising along in his 1967 Fiat BTM on Saturday when the brakes stopped working, causing the 53-year-old to swerve the vehicle to avoid a busy Montauk Highway, which in turn resulted in the car flipping over, John.
What's a BTM?
Bowel terrible movement? I don't know. BTM. Oh, they praise Seinfeld for his behavior, insisting the maneuver probably avoided a heavy... serious accident.
Probably.
Seinfeld did not require medical attention, and the accident was attributed to a mechanical failure. Yeah, right. His wife, Jessica, tells the New York Post, he was a little shocked when he walked in, and it started to dawn on him what happened. And here's what Jerry, the greatest comedian of our time, John, had to say about it. Because I know there are kids out there. I don't want to make sure they all know that driving without brakes is not something I recommend.
Is it Jackie Mason's dad?
Unless you have professional clown training or a comedy background as I do. It is not something I plan to make a habit of. That's real fucking funny, you ass. He's one of these guys who has a thing for cars, so he has like 100 goddamn cars. If you're going to get 100 cars, have a goddamn mechanic that services them, you asswipe.
Yeah, Jay Leno has an affinity for cars and bikes.
And then in our final celebrity news, Bobby Brown. You know who Bobby Brown is there, John? They say he's an R&B singer. Is that true?
Isn't he the wife of Houston or something?
Is my prerogative R&B? Is that R&B?
Yeah. Really bad.
Yes, you're right, John. He is the wife of Whitney Houston.
Yes.
No doubt.
And listen to this pussy. I mean, you and I, John, we are all men. We are men among
That's
boys.
Right.
And then you read a story like this.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
About Bobby Brown.
Right.
Bobby Brown has blamed his ex-wife, Whitney Houston, for getting him hooked on hard drugs.
Oh, Jesus.
The 39-year-old, whose 15-year marriage to Houston was officially dissolved last year, has accused his former wife of introducing him to cocaine, which led to a spiraling drug habit.
Well, I got Bobby Brown right here.
Was convicted of cocaine possession in December and sentenced to a year of community service.
He says he doesn't do drugs, though.
He puts the blame solely on Houston. He had nothing to do with it, John. It was all her.
Oh, yeah. She put it
he
right
in
his nose.
He writes in his forthcoming autobiography, "I have never used cocaine until after I met Whitney. Before then, I had experimented with other drugs, but marijuana was my drug of choice." See, marijuana is the gateway drug, John. At one point in my life, I used drugs uncontrollably. I was using everything I could get my hands on, from cocaine to heroin, weed, and cooked cocaine. And I put the blame solely on Whitney Houston.
I don't do drugs, though.
Just what a weed. Big pussy.
Big pussy.
That is so goddamn unmanly. Somebody needs to talk to him.
Yeah.
Like, you think his editor or the publisher of this goddamn book would say, you can't write this. This, you sound like a big pussy.
Pussy.
No doubt.
No doubt, Yul Brynner.
I don't do drugs, though. Just weed.
And who got Whitney all into coke and shit like that?
Right.
She really fucked up. Whitney.
She fucked up.
And Brittany. Whitney.
Yeah.
All fucking up.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to get a clip off of the AVNs. They were interviewing all the porn stars, asking them what they thought of Britney lately. And there's some pretty funny ones. These chicks that are taking it anally, talking about...
while they're taking it anally?
No, not while they're, but they have in various movies, talking about how she needs to concentrate on being a good mother and... Like they know.
Right on.
Well, maybe they do. I don't know.
Argument from authority. The authority of being a porn star.
Of being a good mother?
So after I heard this Bobby Brown story, I burned all my CDs. My Bobby Brown CDs. And even,
really?
What was he, a New Edition?
Yeah, something like, yeah. Ricky, Bobby, Johnny, and Scott.
Oh, that's the worst song ever. That is so bad.
We were going to do that, remember?
No. You guys gave me that song, and you're like, yeah, learn this one because we want to cover it. And I thought it was like a joke.
Cool it now.
I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Watch out. We're going to lose control.
This is the worst produced song ever.
You call me up, you're like, we need to talk about something. This is a joke, right? This the song by the New Edition. No, it's not a joke. We're going to play. Okay. I can't be in the band anymore. I cannot,
well,
I
then
cannot play that
later
song.
I found out that, Zach, who's been on our show, this is a very important, not an important song, but he knows this song.
Oh,
he knows all the lyrics. So obviously I had never heard that. I probably have heard it, but I heard 5 minutes, 5 seconds of it, and I turned the station. But this had some sort of an effect on some part of the population at one point, because it was actually on the Billboard charts.
Yeah.
And to me, it's the worst produced song I've ever heard, other than the Shags.
the Shags.
So I couldn't believe that it was on the Billboard charts.
Hey, watch out. You're going to lose control. You can do that tune, right?
No,
we're
going to
do like a metal version of it or something.
Yeah, I'd be down for that.
Or a punk version. You thought we were going to do it exactly like that? Ricky, Johnny, Bobby, and Scott.
Ricky, Scotty, Johnny.
Good night. I thought I had it here, man. I can't find it.
Oh, on our media page, we have the top or the most viewed YouTube videos for the day.
Yeah.
On our media page. So I always check that out. And yesterday or today, there were a whole bunch of clips from Scorsese's new film with the Stones.
Yeah.
And it sucks. It blows. I mean, it's getting good reviews. I have no idea why. I watched one song. I think it was Jumping Jack Flash. And it was just really awful.
Awful.
It was
horrible.
I mean, Mick, I don't know how old the fucking guy is. He's in his 60s. He's jumping around like a queer on stage. I'm telling you, something happened to the Stones. They were the coolest motherfuckers from 64 to 78, and then something happened in 78. I don't know what it was. I'm working on it. I don't know what it was. But then, I don't know if it's me. I grew up in 78, you know, and I started, my gaydar went on. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But Mick just became the biggest queer after 78. And he's like a joke.
What's up, man? Yeah, he's got that weird strut.
And the sound isn't very good. And
really? Well, you're watching on YouTube, man. Come on.
I was watching on YouTube. But so Keith Richards playing rhythm guitar, that sounded okay. But then Ron Wood on lead, the lead sounded really weak.
Yeah.
Just not his playing, but the sound of it. It just, and then they don't shoot the bass player at all. There's one shot of Charlie Watts, because he probably isn't really playing drums. He's probably lip syncing drums.
He's drum syncing.
Drum syncing.
Yeah.
But it's just awful to watch Mick prance around like a big queer in his 60s.
You know,
and
we're going to get a call
about
from
the,
Galad. Thanks
Keith
to you.
Keith Richards about to keel over.
Oh, man.
I just don't need to see that. Give me some old stuff.
So what else is up, man?
I got some science news.
Science. What do you got?
Well, we talk a lot about this, about the educational system, especially in the South, where they're pushing intelligent design and the shit like that. But in Florida, where they actually stopped teaching sex ed, they tops teaching it, John. So here's what happens when you stop educating people about sex, because they're not getting it from mom and dad. Well, they may be, but they're not getting an education about it.
Right.
A recent survey has found some Florida teens believe drinking a cap of bleach will prevent HIV.
Oh,
and a shot of Mountain Dew will stop pregnancy has prompted lawmakers to push for an overhaul of the sex education in the state. The survey showed that Florida teens also believe that smoking marijuana will prevent a person from getting pregnant. State lawmakers said the myths are spreading because of Florida's abstinence-only sex education. So when you're in Florida and you go to get your sex education class, you walk in and they say, yeah, you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't do it until you're married. Don't have sex. Don't have sex. That's the curriculum.
That's great.
So they don't give them any information. So obviously the kids are going to fucking run around and try drinking bleach and who knows what the fuck else.
Guess what I heard?
Right, to try to not to get HIV or
dude,
get pregnant.
Dude, if you jerk off, you go blind. Look at, that's why he's wearing glasses. Check his palms, are probably hairy.
Yeah. Oh, don't let your girlfriend swallow, man. She might get pregnant.
Dude.
That's what I heard. Oh, this country is so goddamn backwards. And it's all because of the religious, overwhelming religious influence.
So you want to spend a year in the most religious country in the world
Italy.
Italy.
Right
where
on.
The Vatican is.
Right on. See what that's like. So we can thank Jeb Bush for that.
Jeb.
And the Bush's influence again.
I got a science news.
Science news.
Real quick.
What is it, Chuck?
I don't know. Maybe you have this one, too. I found God, says man who cracked the genome.
I do have that one.
Damn it.
I was going to wait. That was going to be my last one.
Oh, all right.
You want to save that one?
Well, mine's real short. I don't know if you got detail.
Oh, I got the whole goddamn thing.
We'll save that one.
All right.
Yeah, that's a good one.
This one
scares me, that one.
Fear of messing up may cause whites to avoid blacks. It's from a new study. Now, a provocative new study from Northwestern University suggests that whites who are particularly worried about appearing racist seem to suffer from anxiety that instinctively may cause them to avoid interaction with blacks in the first place. Did you hear that? Did you hear about that study?
I know that feeling.
So do I. I could relate to this study, John. The threat of appearing prejudiced and race-based in attentional biases by Jennifer A. Righteousen, associate professor of psychology and African-American studies. And she has all these other qualifications. I'm not going to read them.
Yeah.
Study participants indicated that they worry about inadvertently getting in trouble for something somehow seeming biased. As a result, the study suggests they believe in a way that research shows people respond when faced with stimuli that cause them to feel threatened or anxious. They instinctively look at what is making them feel nervous, and they ignore it. So I have a personal account where my anecdote kind of fits right into what this study is saying. I grew up with in a very racist household. My grandmother consistently yelled at the TV when any black person came on the news about how awful they were. My grandfather made comments every once in a while. My mother was pretty neutral. She never made any comments. But I had a lot of racist influence from my grandmother and my grandfather.
Yeah.
More so from my grandmother. So I really didn't interact with black people until I was in high school. What was the one black guy that went to our high school, John? What was his name?
Bill.
That's not the one I'm thinking of. Maybe there was two of them.
Oh. Well, this Bill guy borrowed a BB gun from. I gave a BB gun to a friend of mine, and it looked like a 45. This guy from our high school borrowed it from the friend of mine and robbed a Wendy's with it. A long time ago.
With a BB gun?
Yeah.
And the police ever trace it back to you?
No. I mean, they arrested him for something. He got arrested eventually for something. But, how do they trace it back to me? It's a BB gun.
I
didn't commit a crime.
I don't know.
It was a spring-loaded BB gun. Black. I never got it back either.
Oh, that would piss me off.
I was pretty upset about that.
I remember being in line at the cafeteria, and the one black guy in school is in front of me. And I felt like, boy, I need to interact with him. I want to interact with this black person. But I was anxious about that because I didn't want to. And I thought about my grandmother, and I thought about all the shit she used to say. And I did have some anxiety. So when I'm trying to think of something, and I'm really horrible with small talk, so I'm trying to think of something to interact with this person. And he starts interacting with me. Totally throws me off, right? So I try to respond to him, and I can't even talk.
What's up, Whitey?
Yeah. What's up, cracker man? I'm like, and I start stuttering. And
and you're trying to find your inner Wigger, right?
Right, my inner Wigger. Well, the other thing is,
yo.
I was going to show him how great the white race could be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the kind of pressure that kind of society puts on you. You're living with people that are completely racist. You don't think it's happening because you don't see it. And then you got people like Jesse Jackson that are just reliving every bad thing that happens to a black person every freaking day. And I'm sure it just is stressful for them, but you have no idea what it is to be like in their shoes. So, you know, eventually, I understand what the way you feel. You felt at that moment, but there's nothing you can do but be yourself.
Right, and that's something that I learned later on. Just be yourself.
So what happened?
I don't know. I stumbled through some sort of a sentence, and then he just looked at me like, man, one crazy...
This motherfucker's out of...
White motherfucker, man.
This motherfucker's out of shoes,
but, you know,
man.
We then we connected on the basketball court.
On the b-ball court?
Right, where the language is the same. You know what I'm saying there, Johnny?
Like where Chris Matthews says... made that comment about Barack, probably not a good bowler, but it's obvious he's probably a good basketball player.
He said that?
Yeah. Yeah, he's getting all kind of shit for that. It's out of sight.
Oh, we got to get that clip.
No doubt.
No doubt. Yeah. Other science news, John. It's thought of as a sexual stereotype. Boys tend to play with toy cars and diggers, while girls like dolls. But now, male monkeys, suggest research, are no different. This could mean that males, whether human or monkey, have a biological predisposition to certain toys. They looked at 11 male and 23 female rhesus monkeys. In general, the monkeys preferred to play with wheeled toys, such as dump trucks and plush dolls, while females played with both kinds of toys.
Wow.
The conclusion may upset those psychologists who insist that sex differences, for example, the tendency for boys to favor toy soldiers and girls to prefer dolls, depend on social factors, not innate differences.
Well, absolutely. Why wouldn't it? It's definitely part of the, what is that, What do they call it? Evolutionary biology?
Evolutionary biology there, John. Evolutionary psychology. There's also social Darwinism that tells us that if it weren't for evolution, Hitler wouldn't have existed.
Well, there is some merit to your social upbringing is obviously how you develop ideas and choices until at one point you start to analyze some of that shit and find out how ridiculous it is.
Well, the more I think about it...
In some cases.
The more I think your environment really has nothing to do with it, unless it's over-the-top abusive, then I think you get fucked up from that. But other than that, I don't think your environment has a goddamn thing to do with it.
The Freakonomics thing, they did a study where they checked kids who, like... their parents forced them to read, like, every day. And the kids who did better were just kids who had books in their house.
That weren't forced.
Weren't forced to read.
Right.
So, I don't know. And I had an argument with one guy. He was telling me that he's conservative, listens to Bill O'Reilly, Rush Limbaugh. Forced his kids to go to private school, Catholic private schools. He and I had a discussion, a little debate about public schools. I came up in a public school. His kids all through the Catholic private school. And he said, the public schools are shit because the teachers don't care. I said, what does that have anything to do with it? I don't think that's true. I mean, where's your evidence of that? I don't think there's a difference. Teacher gets an education, gets paid. We talked about it last week, making the connection. It doesn't matter who the person is. Kids can get educated by breaking down walls and getting them interested in something and exchanging ideas and whatever, reading or whatever
it
is.
I had teachers that sucked, and I had teachers that made the connection with me. And maybe the ones that sucked, maybe it was my fault because I could never make the connection with them. I don't know. Who knows?
Well, I looked up some statistics and found that, sure enough, There was no difference. As a matter of fact, in a lot of cases, the public schools scored even better than the private schools. And I sent this to the guy's son, a friend of mine, who's thinking about sending their daughter to the Willows Academy.
Oh, that's Opus Dei, man. That's hardcore.
So if you would have been there yesterday, you could have talked to a woman that works there.
At Opus, I mean at Willow Academy?
Yeah. You remember we were talking
right
at one of the cookouts or whatever
it was?
Well,
she's an admin there, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, it's really fucked up over here.
Yeah. She says, well, the school's really, I mean, a good school. They learn and, you know, there's academics and blah, blah, blah. I go, let me ask you a question. Do they teach evolution in their science class? Oh, no. Okay. Enough
well,
said.
What is their science? Do they even have science class?
Well, I remember I went to Catholic school, and science class, we boiled water. I don't know. We looked. That's about it. I can't remember anything else. I don't remember us ever talking about how we got there.
The sun? Solar system?
No, we did planets. We did some other things. We measured stuff. We learned about the weather. But nobody ever stepped over that line and asked, how did we get here, you know? And it would have been interesting to find out, oh, Adam and Eve. I mean, hello.
Hello.
God created Adam and Eve, and then all of a sudden, boom. So we were born out of incest? What?
Oh, yesterday driving in the car, my daughter asked me if I believe that Adam and Eve were the first humans. And I said, well, no, I believe in evolution. And then she went on to, I should have her record this. She went on with this 5-minute argument why I was wrong and why obviously Adam and Eve are correct. So she's hearing this from her friends, but she's formulating her own ideas about it, which I thought were interesting. So maybe I'll try to get her to record
nice.
That. I'll ask her about it, and I'll record. Because she had a pretty well-constructed argument, but it basically ended like this. Duh, Dad.
Oh.
Duh.
Surprised you didn't know that.
Yeah, come on.
Unbelievable.
All right, and our last science story you brought up, John. You want to go ahead with that? The scientist
well,
who led started. The team.
The scientist who led the team that cracked the human genome is to publish a book explaining why he now believes in the existence of God. He now believes, by the way.
Yes.
And is convinced that miracles are real.
Which one specifically?
Right.
I want to know.
Francis Collins, the director of the U.S. National Human Genome Research Institute, claims there is a rational basis for a creator and that scientific discoveries bring man closer to God.
Well, I disagree with that.
Right. Brings me farther away. His book, The Language of God, to be published in September, will reopen the age-old debate about the relationship between science and faith. He says, one of the great tragedies of our time is this impression that has been created that science and religion have to be at war, said Collins, 56. I don't think there's a war there. It's science versus...
it's faith.
Spaghetti monster or whatever.
Right. It's faith versus a method for trying to gather the facts about the natural world. I mean, they're two totally separate things. But getting back to the comment about scientific discoveries bring man closer to God, that is so... Even the church wouldn't agree with that. Look what they did to Galileo. Look what they did to Copernicus.
Yeah.
And then Darwin comes along, and now he's a fuckwad in their minds. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's not... According to... Ben Stein, he's not even a scientist because his theory doesn't tell us why the Earth revolves around the sun.
Right.
But it's this stupidity. Their whole formation of an argument is based on stupidity. And they can't form an argument. They can just throw shit out there. And even this guy, go on, John. You were going to say something else about
it? Well, he continues, I don't see that as necessary at all. And I think it is deeply disappointing that the shrill voices that occupy the extremes of this spectrum have dominated the stage for the last 20 years. For Collins, unraveling the human genome did not create a conflict in his mind. Instead, it allowed him to glimpse at the workings of God. He says, when you make a breakthrough, it is a moment of scientific exhilaration because you have been on this search and seem to have found it, he said. But it is also a moment where I at least feel closeness to the Creator in the sense of having now perceived something that no human knew before, but God knew all along.
Yeah, so a couple upsetting things about this is now the creationists and the...
Well, he makes some gross assumptions that God knew all along. And if he was so fucking clever, again, 99% of the species, he would have known that right. They're all going to die.
Well, again, it's this one guy's interpretation. And for whatever reason, who knows, maybe the part of the story he's not telling us is that he's been cheating on his wife for 20 years and he almost got caught. And he said, please, God, if you don't let my wife know, I'll start believing in you. And through some coincidence, the wife never found out.
Dude, that works. That works.
Right, that totally works, man. I see God in the genome now. So it's this one guy's interpretation. And who knows what the fuck is going on with his life? But he was an atheist until he was 27, I guess. And then in part of this... And the other thing he talks about is Newton. Or actually, this article talks about Newton. Collins joins a line of scientists whose research dependent deepen their belief in God. Isaac Newton, whose discovery of the laws of gravity reshaped our understanding of the universe, said the most beautiful system could only be preceded from the dominion of an intelligent and powerful being. Yeah, but if you really read about Isaac Newton, the guy went completely insane
completely.
In the later years of his life. He spent the last 30 years of his life trying to turn something into gold. Alchemy.
Yeah.
That's what they call it.
Yeah.
And he failed miserably there. And he became a man of God. And but what does that have to do with anything? It doesn't have anything to do with anything. That's what I'm saying. So this one guy has this interpretation that he's the first human to do this, and therefore he has this connection with God. And now these creationists and these ID people are going to jump all over this. But again, there's no science. There's no scientific discovery. Like, he wasn't looking at a genome and it said God was here. That didn't happen.
Right.
It's just this guy's belief. But now they're going to use this and they're going to misquote it. And they're going to... the one thing going for this guy, though, which I think is brilliant, is he's a scientist and a very respected scientist.
No doubt.
Until these statements. But how much money is he going to get going on lectures for the Discovery Institute or whoever? And now switching sides, basically. Guys, in just the book he's writing, he's going to make a mint.
Right.
A mint, John. And maybe that's why he did it. There's no money in science. So maybe, hey, I want to make some money. I'll just say that I saw God when I did all my research. Let me write a book on that. And then I'll go on the speaking tour.
The speaking tour.
And clean up. I see God's hand at work through the mechanism of evolution. If God chose to create human beings in this image and decided that a mechanism of evolution was an elegant way to accomplish that goal, who are we to say that is not the way? So he has a little different spin on it, where the hardcore creationists... Adam and Eve, man. That's where we started.
No doubt.
But he accepts evolution, but he's saying that God's hand worked through evolution. Either he kicked it off and he developed the algorithm for that, or that he kind of helped it along. I guess my response to that is, why were there five mass extinctions? before we had a chance to evolve.
Right.
And maybe that's God's hand at work. He was, you know, oh, this isn't working out. Mass extinction. Let's try again. Oh, this isn't working out. Mass extinction.
But that blows the whole all-knowing theory.
It does blow the all-knowing theory.
All-knowing.
Well, what if aliens came down and created us? Who knows? In a Petri dish, right?
Right.
Are they gods now? Are they our God? I guess the point is, he's saying he believes in a supreme being, but he's not saying which one.
Yeah. Zeus?
Is it Allah? Zeus? Jehovah?
Zenu?
Jesus? Zenu? We don't know. It's just a it's an undefined supreme being.
Jesus is the son of God, Scott.
Right. And being the son of God, he is God, John. God, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
He is risen.
He
Scott.
Is risen, John.
He is risen.
That's right.
That's right.
Let's see. Anything else about this douche?
Yeah.
Oh, he went hiking, John. He went hiking.
Ah.
And he said it was a beautiful afternoon, and suddenly the remarkable beauty of creation around me was so overwhelming, I felt I cannot resist this another moment.
We started jerking off.
Yeah, it sounds real scientific. Ugh. If one is willing to accept the existence of God or some...
You are a meathead.
He's not even saying it's God. Existence of God or some supernatural force outside nature, then it is not a logical problem to admit that occasionally a supernatural force might stage an invasion, whatever that means.
It's just weirdo talk, man.
It's whacked. Okay, so the guy has this profound feeling and he attributes it to God. So what? There's no science around that. But we're going to see a ton of stories from Discovery Institute and everybody else saying that this is proof that God exists. It's a bunch of shit. All right, John, you ready to turn to politics? Petraeus' testimony next week will signal Iran attack. Did you hear that?
Really?
Today, the London Telegraph reported that British officials have warned yesterday that Americans' commander in Iraq will declare that Iran is waging war against the U.S.-backed Baghdad government. A strong statement from General David Petraeus about Iran's intervention in Iraq could set the stage for a U.S. attack on Iranian military facilities, according to the U.K. Isn't that great? I told you, John.
Yeah.
Right before the elections.
Right.
War
October
with Iran.
Surprise.
Cancel the elections. W. Forever.
Well, you know, the war becomes illegal on January 1st, 2009. Yeah, it's true.
Despite, yeah, illegal for who?
Well, despite protestations to the contrary, Congress clearly understood that it was authorizing the president to intervene militarily when it passed its joint resolution authorizing the use of force in Iraq in October 2002. But it did not give him a blank check. It allowed for the use of force only under two conditions. The first has long since lapsed. It permitted the president to defend the national security of the United States against a continuing threat posed by Iraq. This threat came to an end with the destruction of Saddam Hussein's government. It makes no sense to say that it continues today or that our national security is threatened by the Iraqi government headed by Nouri al-Maliki. But there's a here's the rub. The most recent UN resolution expires on December 31st, and the administration has announced that it will not seek one for 2009. Instead, it is now negotiating a bilateral agreement with the Iraqi government to replace the UN mandate.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything to the W at all. He's above the law. And he's consistently shown that through his presidency. The law doesn't apply to him, especially in this time of the war on terror, John.
Right.
The war on terror. This memo from the Pentagon just came out about torture.
Right.
And basically they said, you can maim and torture people, but because we're above the law. It doesn't apply to us.
Well, that's the thing. The whole thing becomes illegal in the next couple of months. And, you know, you start wondering, what the fuck is this Congress doing? They've been dragging their feet about this whole impeachment thing. It's the only thing that brings the Constitution back into the mix. It's the only thing that puts government back on the right path. Everybody knows it. Even the most ardent conservative is discussing this. And it's disgusting and despicable that our government is doing absolutely fucking nothing. And then they say, but we raised the minimum wage. You know, The economy's a big deal. Well, you know what? The economy's going to continue to tank if we're paying
trillions,
$4 or $5 a gallon for oil, which is
trillions to fight this stupid ass war on terror.
It's unfucking fathomable. I just don't get it. It's so fucked up. And, you know, everybody sits there going, oh, no, this is, no, that can't happen. That can't happen. Next thing you know, the next day in the news, it's exactly what people are saying. You know, it's coming up in these little independent news stories. You're not going to see it in the regular news because they're all entangled with companies that overlap, that lobby with these politicians. They either don't want to get in trouble or they're supporters of the politician or whatever. I mean, I can't remember. There was one story about some people that got fired because they suppressed the news. I mean, it's bullshit.
Well, there's so many impeachable offenses from this regime. Just a couple of weeks ago, we played a clip of Cheney where the woman said, two-thirds of the population are not favorable for the war in Iraq.
Right.
And he's like, so?
So?
Right there, that's impeachable offense. I mean, the people, you are representing the people of this country. You're supposed to, in office, and protect the Constitution. They're not doing any of that shit. They're fucking raping this country and fucking with the Constitution.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, somebody raises articles of impeachment, but it goes nowhere. So they're all either getting paid off or they don't want to rock the boat because they think maybe they'll be out next term and their fucking paycheck will be gone. Their gravy train.
Oh, they get the gravy train for life.
The cocksuckers.
They
tell you that,
that's what I don't understand. They get that thing for life.
Also, a leading Democrat on Saturday declared last year's troop buildup in Iraq a failure. Senator Joe Biden, chairman of the Senate Foreign Committee of Relations, said the military push didn't succeed because U.S. troops remain committed there in large numbers and political reconciliation has not been achieved. Well, yeah, everybody knows that except the goddamn W and Cheney going around saying the surge was a great success.
Right.
Just like mission accomplished, you cocksuckers. Fucking dicks. Dicks, John.
Dick suckers.
I've about had it with this goddamn country. That's why I want to move to Italy for a year.
No doubt.
All right, man.
Cheney will have a grabber.
You want me to get the door?
Could you please?
Yeah. Hold on.
It's going to be a long walk to that door, man. It seems longer each time.
Hey, why is that? I'm back. Maybe it has something to do with special relativity.
Right. You got to make this news quick, Phil. I got to take a mean piss.
No doubt, John.
No.
I put my news together before
late,
great Charlton Heston passed away, so maybe next week I'll do a tribute.
No doubt.
So the great Charlton Heston.
He left you a message.
He did, yes.
Yeah.
Put some pants on, kid, so I can kick your butt.
I don't know what that means.
I don't think that's very funny.
I'm no kid, and I already have my pants on. I'm ready, whatever you are, John.
All right.
Thank you, John.
Hey!
Now, with your award-winning TTN News, Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Our first story tonight. Man charged in vehicular homicide had high concentrations
homicide
of marijuana in his blood. Man's lawyer says drugs in client's system, not the cause of the accident. I repeat, not the cause of the accident. Putting out a dropped joint with his beer was the cause. What difference nice. That makes is beyond me. All right, John, I brought in some audio for this next clip. A technician at a French Polynesian television station has been suspended from work after accidentally screening a porn movie he thought he was watching alone. The incident on March 3rd sparked about a dozen angry calls to the Tahiti New Television Network. General Director of TNTV, Hubert Ives, said the technician was suspended from work without pay for a week after the mix-up. Mr. Ives said about 3 minutes of the adult program made it out of the air, of which 52 seconds was explicit porn. It is funny, yes, but not really to us, I've said. The error happened about 2 p.m., 20 minutes after a religious program on the channel ended. He said the staff member made two errors that resulted in part of the porn movie making it on air.
Nice.
Go ahead, let's hear some audio from that.
What do you want to do?
Oh my god, I want the people like nigger cops in my asshole.
Yeah.
I want to fill up all my little cracker holes.
Oh,
a big nigger dick.
Fuck him out, bitch. Shut up.
Shut up.
All right, John. Next story.
Was she doing like That's what it sounded like.
Maybe. We'd have to listen to it again.
Yeah, we'll have to analyze that on the next show.
This just in, John. This hot off the press. Car thief gets locked inside his car. No word on what kind of bass he plays.
that's really funny.
Good one. That's a good one.
Next story, John.
That's a good one.
Kennedy had a stadium named after him. Reagan has an airport. Where would George W. Bush have his moniker emblazoned? At the Ape House? At a prestigious educational institution?
On an ass of a donkey.
No, turns out to be a sewage plant in San Francisco, which coincidentally is next to the Chip House at the San Francisco Zoo. Next story, John.
Didn't we talk about that before?
Man looking for quick fix dismayed to grab a handful of stiff. A man looking for a quick fix was mighty upset when his pretty woman turned out to be very pretty male.
Oh.
The man's adventure began on Monday when he picked up a prostitute for a quick romp in a hotel room, eager to taste her delights. He ripped off all of his clothes. He asked her to do the same. She refused. And then he demanded to be paid for... And then demanded to be paid before proceeding any further. An argument ensued, and the man grabbed the prostitute. Let's just say that when he touched her, he realized he wasn't touching a woman. The man realized he had been duped in the worst possible way. His lady of the night had turned out to be a very pretty man. He shouted at the transvestite to leave. The prostitute refused. Refused and demanded to be paid. The man realized the prostitute was strong.
The prostitute.
So he paid $300 and told him to get out. The prostitute was wearing a tiny skirt and wore so much makeup there was no way you could tell it was a man. He said. Next story, John. Pamela Anderson refuses to act alongside a dog. In related news, dog relieved that he will no longer be required to work alongside Pam Anderson. Heard to say bow wow.
Next story, John.
47-year-old, actually 62, learns the hard way not to get naked on a webcam for 13 and 14-year-olds, actually the police. Using an internet web camera in an online chat room, a 62-year-old Ben Salem man, allegedly exposed himself and solicited sex multiple times from a police officer who posed as two teenage girls. Francis J. Smith of Mallard Drive was arrested Tuesday and charged with unlawful contact with a minor and criminal use of a communication facility. Both third-degree felonies that carry a maximum sentence of 7 years in prison. An online conversation in which Smith allegedly typed questions like, "So have you ever made out yet?" and "You're 14. You're 14. Do you ever get horny?
14.
I wonder what things would be like as to what you have heard from others and saw in books." Much of what Smith allegedly wrote to the undercover officer, posing as a 14-year-old girl and then a 13-year-old girl during the next couple of months, is unprintable, therefore unsayable. But according to court records, he repeatedly solicited sex and exposed himself using his webcam. Next story, John. 6-year-old in trouble for saying his teacher is a hottie, asking if teachers slept together, and saying that a classmate of his like looking at the teacher's ass. In related news, he's also the son of a preacher.
Oh.
A pastor says his 6-year-old son was given a disciplinary referral for making subjective comments about a teacher and now is afraid the boy is being made out to be a sexual pervert. Next story, John. 81% of Americans believe the U.S. is headed in the wrong direction. In related news, the other 19% have no idea what the term right direction means. Next story, John. Are you happy to see me, or are you just excited to be traveling 55 miles per hour on the roof of your minivan in the nude? A Reading man whose minivan crashed after he climbed onto his roof while driving about 55 miles per hour is in fair condition this weekend. Police say a Reading man later stripped naked and led them on a chase along the highway. Authorities are not identifying the man, who is not charged. He remains in a Reading hospital. That's in Pennsylvania, John. Recovering from what witnesses call a deep gash in his side. Police say they used taser jolts and pepper spray during the chase Friday, but only subdued the man when they tackled him. In related news, Matt Kittensparks will miss the next 2 weeks of the Mediocre Show. Next story, John. Fokker airline pilot in deep trouble for letting two flight attendants handle his cockpit in mid-flight. An Air Central pilot allowed two flight attendants to sit in the co-pilot seat and handle the controls during a flight in December. Diomari Shimbun has learned. The 51-year-old captain of the airline, which is part of the All Nippon Airways group, has been suspended for flying for violating company rules. An Air Central spokesman said, however, that as the captain had retained control of the twin turboprop engine Fokker 50 aircraft and no passengers were on board, his actions were not unsafe. Next story, John.
Wait for bitch start sucking.
This is a PSA, a public service announcement for Total Talk Nonsense.
Thank you so much.
When pointing your video camera, be sure to remove the tape, especially when the tape shows you giving a joint to a baby.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Next and last story, John.
Oh, no.
A boss fires employee due to cutbacks. Employee cuts back. An employee in the process of being fired stabbed his boss with a pocket knife Friday. 39-year-old Zhang Lai of Hacienda Heights was booked on suspicion of assault with a deadly weapon. His boss, a man in his mid-40s, suffered two stab wounds in his arm from a small pocket knife. The boss was hospitalized with non-threatening injuries. And that's the news, John. Thank you, John. Thank you, Scott. It's always good to be here.
Thank you so much, Phil.
How about this weather?
Fantastic. Fan-fucking-tastic.
Right on, John.
All right, Phil.
All right, Scott.
Bye-bye now.
John.
Bye.
All right.
See you later.
Of course. Next week. Same time. Same place.
Wow.
Wow. All right, then. 126 Another comes to a close.
Stellar story. Or stellar Ooh. Storytelling by Phil McRacken.
It's not storytelling. That's news. That's award-winning news.
Oh,
John.
I'm sorry. I didn't know you were his attorney. I didn't know you'd be offended.
I know that Phil listens to the show, and I'm going to get a phone call after he listens.
He knows your number, but he only knows where I live.
Right. And he calls me all the time, especially when you say derogatory things
nice.
About him. I have to hear about it.
All right, I'm going to play our Skype promo and then our exit, our outro.
Nice.
So thanks for listening, 126. Thanks to Phil last week.
My pleasure.
thanks to Phil last week. Write-ins from Preston. I forget to read something from Helen. Helen put something on her
Helen
MySpace. She's the one who has our...
MySpace?
On MySpace.
MySpace.
Yeah.
MySpace.
When you go to hers, she has our TTN, that thing about tetanus.
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 Yeah. So, what else? Is that it? Oh, and Chuck.
Are you going to say what she said, or are you just going to say that she said something?
She said something.
And not tell us what she said.
I don't have it right here, man.
So then why would you even bring it up? Come on, man.
I forgot.
So then don't even say that she said something.
Oh, I guess, right. You're right again, Scott.
Of course.
Of course.
I'm always right, John.
Well, I could read it right now. Should I read it right now?
Well, you did mention it.
All right, I'll read it.
Yes.
Hello again, chaps. Thanks very much for the mention. And this was weeks ago we mentioned her. Because she put our little tetanus on her MySpace.
MySpace.
Thanks very much for the mention. Eesh, I did get quite a buzz out of that. I had quite a smile on my face till someone at work told me to go fuck myself. Comes with the territory. I work at a hospital walk-in center. I've been playing the bit where John shouts, Helen! Off to my girl pals, trying to... rein you in some more listeners with vaginas. Much appreciated. I'm actually from Manchester, but you got the man part of the place right, so I still send you big kisses. Have a good one, boys. Love smelling.
When did you shout Helen? Maybe that's why we have a spike in UK listeners.
Ah, could
just
be.
Just because of our new listener, Helen.
Well,
you know,
anyways,
she told two friends, they told two friends, and so on and so on.
And the one she talked about before, I thought I read this one before, that she laughed in hysterics on a crowded bus, and people stared at her, and she said, P.S., Scott is my favorite.
Of course, John.
Of course.
I'm my favorite as well.
You sound more like that guy from... from Silence of the Lambs. Of course.
Was she a big fat person?
Was she a big fat person? You know, I like their fat person because I can get their skin as loose and I can wear it on my body.
Can you help me with this soap?
Put some more lotion on. The lotion makes your skin soft. Yeah. I'm going to tuck my penis between my legs so it looks like a vagina.
That's the highlight of Clerks 2 is when
like
Jay
vagina.
Does the little dance, the Buffalo Bill dance.
The Buffalo Bill vagina dance.
That and Rosario Dawson. Those are the two highlights of Clerks 2. Other than that, it's not watchable.
I know. You know, why didn't he stick with his formula? He had this great formula, and he blew it. He blew it.
One-hit wonder.
One-hit wonder. Oh, Mallrats was okay.
Is that what Ben Affleck was a bully?
Yeah.
With the air, the afro?
Yeah, the funny hair. Yeah. All right, we got to go.
All right, 126 comes to a close, John.
126.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, John.
We have Skype, so call us at 1-847-TTN-JIZZED. You want to be on the show? The Skype line is usually open on Sunday nights between 8 p.m. and 11 p.m. Central Standard Time. You think you have what it takes to beat down John playing shit or Shinola? Or maybe you have a TTN correction and you'd like to educate Jizz and Skizz.
Or maybe you're just a lowly SOB like me.
Whatever the reason, just give us a jingle. That's 847-TTN-JIZZED or 847-889-44.
You're listening to John and Scott on Total Talk Nonsense.